Okay, welcome to the Eternal Void, but with Jazz podcast. It's me, AP Strange, back with you again. And tonight we have Stephanie Quick back with us again. And for the first time on the show, Kiki Dombrowski. We're going to have a quick, we'll have a fun little chat here. We had a pretty broad category to talk about of synchronicities and dreams, but I think we'll have a lot of fun doing it. So, Stephanie, welcome.
Hi.
And Kiki, welcome to the show for the first time.
Hello, this is the second time.
Second time?
Yeah. Oh,
was I there the first time?
No, I was with Shell the first time, and we talked about tarot. So I remember I went off on a really long-winded rant about the Ten of Pentacles. So.
Wow. I remember that now, but I think you did a bunch of shows right around the same time. So the gal kind of blended together for me.
Yeah.
Right. You did a lot of interviews because probably around the time your book came out.
Right. Right. The divination tour.
Right.
There you go.
Oh, and speaking of which, you're very soon going to be doing a workshop at Strange Realities, right?
Yes. Yes, I am. And it's so funny. So like I'm doing a divination workshop. And I'm just gonna, like, I wanted it to be a lot of fun. I didn't want it to be serious. I'm not, and so we're building our own divination kits. And my mom gave me buttons to add to the divination kit.
Oh, that's perfect.
Isn't that sweet? So there's like something maternal that's going to go into these kits now. It just makes me so happy. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Are you all gonna watch?
Yeah, I hope it is. It's available. People can attend in person as well as online. So there's no excuses to avoid this. And then Michael Hughes is going to be there as well. He's also is he giving a workshop as well?
He is.
I think
we're like right next to each other. So we're just going to be like little divination buddies. He's doing he's doing a tarot workshop, but it's going to be more based on like how to use tarot in magic, not necessarily like this is what it means if you get the Ten of Pentacles in a tarot reading or, but I'm really excited. I just think that everybody that's going to be talking is got a lot of, it's really, everybody's super, super smart. I feel like I'm just going to be like, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed by all the smart things. Here's a button.
I have to say, I love the conspiranormal guys. They put all of these Strange Reality various lectures and stuff, and I've attended some of them online and stuff, and they're like you say, it's like a super smart and well-sourced and intellectual and really well put together, but I have to tap out because I can't. I've always been the type of person that I like, even sitting in class is like elementary school. I'm always like, oh, I have to go get a drink of water or something and sneak out. But I'm really excited to see you and Michael together because I think that's a real nice balance of a couple different approaches towards divination. So that's I think it'll be real strong.
It's fun. Think I'm right after lunch and then he comes on after me. And this really funny thing too, it just so happens like I'm driving up to Nashville a little bit early because my day job's office is in Nashville. So I thought, you know what? I'll go up. I'm doing a day of volunteer work at the animal shelter, which is really fun. I'm doing that through work. And so, I'm going up a few days early. Turns out Greg Bishop is going to be in Athens, Georgia on the day I'm driving through.
Oh, wow. That's perfect timing.
Yeah. So I'm going to stop in Athens, Georgia. David Metcalf was putting on the UFO. And Greg's going to be talking that day. So I texted and I was like, you're going to be in Georgia? Can I come hang out?
I think there might be some other exciting people there too. No, that sounds like a really fun show too. Just like, an outsider UFO art or something. So
I know.
It's very David Metcalf. He's living.
I know. and Josh Kitchen is going to be there too. And so I'm going to meet all these people and then I'm going to plug along and sit in traffic in Atlanta and then eventually in Nashville, hopefully before I have to clock into work.
Oh, no, that sounds wonderful. A definite, how do I want to say, I almost said Stations of the Cross, but that's not what I mean. But pilgrimage, that's what I meant.
The what?
Well, the first thing that came to mind was Stations of the Cross, but that sounds very snarky, which is not what I meant, but I meant pilgrimage.
It's like a nice trek. Yeah.
Kind of a pilgrimage through these various numinous areas and events and meeting all these fantastical people, just like a quest for the saucer grail or something. So no, that sounds like such a fun time.
I'll try and take selfies and, you know, share them on Twitter so everybody could see.
Yeah, tag us all in.
Yes.
DM them so we can see. Oh, that's exciting. That's really fun.
Hopefully next weekend, we're going to hang out, right, AP? We're going to go hopefully do something fallsy-ish.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And Tim, Chris said he wanted to meet up, but he's not on Twitter, so I don't know if you know him. But he was on, he did something with Conspiranormal. He does a lot of UFO stuff. Vintage UFOs.
Yeah. Yeah, I know him.
So, yeah. And then Alex is in on the shore of Connecticut, and he wanted to hang out too. So I just love it. Just I feel like I have to like leave where I live and just be social.
Yeah,
either just work from home on this little island, and then just go pick shells in my time off. So thank you.
Well, it is cool to get out and meet people, you know. So.
No, that's exciting. And how lucky for all those people to get to meet you too, Kiki. So.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you.
Well, it's true, for Pete's sake. That's fun.
So, yeah. It's good stuff. Right.
Yay.
Lots of journeys, adventures.
Yeah, definite a fall type of thing. It always feels like, you know, summer and then fall is when everyone starts kind of congregating and coming back to school and events happening and stuff. So,
I feel like as soon as fall happened, I felt like relief, you know. I felt way more relaxed as soon as the the calendar turned over to fall, you know. This is my time of year. I love it, you know. It's
perfect,
especially up in New England. It can't be beat.
it's the best. I almost like was gonna say, will you guys go to like a pumpkin patch with me?
Absolutely do that.
I think it's, I don't know, like I, you know, like I need somebody to take a picture of me holding, you know, like the basic fallsy, you know, me and like,
hey,
I don't know. I never found my overalls at TJ Maxx, but you know, like, you know, holding a pumpkin or something anyways. So yeah, but you're right. New England has a special magic to it. Once it hits September and you see that one leaf that turns gold or red, it's like just this monumental shift. So I don't know.
You're talking about going to Salem and I'm like, because I lived in Salem for a little while, and man, from the beginning of September, like September 1st, all of a sudden there's just crowds in and out of that town all day long, every day. Maybe a springtime trip to Salem would be better.
Yes, when I'm back in the spring, I'm going to make you come up to Salem. We could go to Salem, New Hampshire, and then go to Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Inclusive America's Salem package. There you go.
Yeah. Buy one, get one free.
As long as we don't go to New Salem in Massachusetts, because there's nothing there. A New Salem out in Western Massachusetts, but it's like the kind of town that you drive through without even noticing you were in that town. You know, it just takes forever to drive through it. There's nothing in it. It's actually close to the ghost town of Dana, which like there's a ghost town over there, Dana, Massachusetts. So.
I don't know that neck of the woods. My sister went to school up in Western Massachusetts for photography. It was really beautiful up that way. It does seem like a place where there would be a haunted town and a New Salem. And isn't there a state park out there that you said like they have Bigfoot sightings?
Sort of. Yeah, that would be on the way there from where I am in Worcester. Monsterland is what they were calling it. I don't know. It's weird. I never heard of anything there when I was growing up, but Leominster State Forest. Apparently the people see Bigfoots in there and orbs that turn into Bigfoots. And and that's kind of, that's where I
turn into orbs.
Yeah, probably both ways.
What about bat squash though? That's my main concern.
I haven't heard of any bat squashes, but it's, I don't know. It's funny because Ronnie LeBlanc is the name of the guy that wrote the book about it. And he's on Expedition Bigfoot, I think. And I saw him give a presentation. But the local magazine, Worcester Magazine, did a interview with him. And when they were doing a photo shoot for the article, they like incidentally captured a UFO in one of the photos.
That's awesome. Oh my God. Yeah, I love that. That's the best.
That's super cool.
That is such a great story. You know, yeah. Out of all the Bigfoot shows, I really enjoyed that one a lot.
I never really got around to it, but it seemed better than the other ones.
I enjoyed it. They have like a survivor man on the show who's like knows how to rough it.
Right.
And he's just out there like traipsing up and down ridges and it looks exhausting. I watch it and I'm like, I don't know how he is dragging that bag around with him.
Yeah. Is there a woman on the show that's like a scientist too or something like that?
Yes. She's amazing. And she like they're all outdoorsy, right?
Yeah.
She's like a primatologist.
Fun.
She would be able to say like, oh, well, when I was, you know, in this jungle and wherever, this is how the primates acted there. And, you know, just really cool. And then I guess the other man must be the UFO guy.
Right.
There's one guy and he was like really open-minded. He'd be like, I think I'm going to meditate and see if something happens. And something did. So... Yeah. That's I know this isn't about dreams and synchronicities, but I do think it's really cool.
Well, yeah. We all dream of Bigfoot appearing before us.
We
had a lot of Bigfoot synchronicities. No Bigfoot sightings, but we had Bigfoot synchronicities last summer. The summer of sexy Sasquatch.
Oh,
Steph and I did. Yeah.
I was just talking speaking of Metcalf, he was very kind to me because I always had this period of time where I was just like having all these like ha 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 sexy Sasquatch synchronicities, you know, people sending me Bigfoot erotica or, you know, all this different stuff. So I was playing along with it. It was fine. But then this was happening in a time period where I was expecting that I was going to be going with my family to a cabin, a pretty remote cabin up near Mount Lassen in California. We'd been there before, and it's an isolated spot. I mean, and it's the type of place where like on the trail cams, they'll regularly catch, you know, like mountain lions or bobcat, you know, big. So I was thinking I was going to be going to this like remote area, which is like right in classic Sasquatch country. And I made jokes about, ha, 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 I'll be hunting for Sasquatch. But then, and I was just talking with someone about this today on DM, things started to get a little bit more intense with like pretty big Bigfoot synchronicities showing up. For example, like my husband went to get his haircut, or done rather. He's a lot more stylish than I. And, you know, he hates all this stuff. He never brings up anything to me. He doesn't want to hear about any weird shit. And he comes home, he's like, oh yeah, so I was getting my hair cut and the guy cut my hair started talking about how his people in his family saw a Bigfoot like in a cornfield in Nebraska. I'm like, what? And then some other stuff happened. It started to get like kind of real. So I was writing this stuff up and I was thinking, you know, I started to feel, well, I'll be frank with people. I was like kind of, I don't want to have like some weird like... sexual Sasquatch encounter when I'm up at this cabin. I'm too old for this. I need to stop now. So David Metcalf had done this like drawing of like a very kind of asexual Ken doll type Bigfoot. And he kind of put it in the context of like a boring bureaucratic meeting. I'm like, can I use that drawing as like the focal drawing for my blog post on all this to kind of take some of the juice out of it? Like, sure. And it worked, thank God. But it's kind of funny. You're kind of like going along with it. All of a sudden, it was like a couple things started to, like pretty strong ones that weren't just, you know, someone sending you a link or something, but like, oh, someone pulled up and they have a car that looks exactly like your car. And it's even dirty. Like your husband has been bitching to you about it. And it's like covered with Sasquatch stickers. And you're like, eh, that's a little bit too much like consensus reality for my taste.
Well, right. Because I mean, there's the scrolling through and stumbling on posts, but then there's just like seeing stuff in real life where you're just confronted with it. You're like, what?
Yeah. Or someone says, oh, yeah, I just dreamed about XYZ or
Right.
Yeah. And that's part of the whole thing of, to me, when you're dealing with synchronicities and premonitions, that type of thing. There's things that could be put down to algorithms, but then there's when like people are sending you something or you're walking down the street. I had one, I spoke about it, I think with Vuk on Tracing Owls briefly, but anyway, where for whatever reason, I don't know what it was about still to this day, but my mom sent me a story. And then I ran across one like online, and then I went and saw a strange plant in town, and the guy who owned the plant was there and started talking to me. His name was Barry, and all three stories were about bears getting in the house, trying to get in the house or actually in the house. So there it's, you know, it's different if you're just kind of, oh yeah, I've just seen these in algorithm, whereas, you know, you kind of show up at this guy's house and he's like, oh yeah. And then that time that, you know, I came out and I saw that a bear had been in my house and it was just out in the yard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Bears, dreams. I don't know. Anyone had any weird dreams recently?
Yeah.
I said, anyone had any weird dreams recently?
Not about sexy Sasquatch.
I mean about anything.
That's probably for the best, Casey.
Oh, gosh. I've
had a lot of stressful dreams lately that, like, I don't remember. I don't remember the bulk of. But then I'll just remember the very tail end, which I think I wake up and then go right back into it. And that's the only part I remember. But yeah, I did have the dream recently where you brought out a baking tray with like peanut butter brownies in it.
Oh, that's sweet. Literally.
But it was like the end of the stressful dream, and the other people in the dream who I don't think like exist in real life were on a couch with me. And then like Steph just shows up with a baking tray. Like, it's like, who wants peanut butter snacks? And I was like, yes, Steph is awesome.
Well, this is the whole theme that we've had recently, because my mom actually had a dream last night about a bakery that she really was super into when she lived in Berkeley. It's on a section of Monterey Avenue. There's a bunch of kind of like she specialty food shops there and have been for many decades. And they had this bakery that made these great cookies that she was always interested in eating. And she dreamed about it last night. Now, the interesting thing is that last night in the evening, I was talking with my friend, Sean Chapman, who I've known since, I don't know, I'm 60 now. I've known him since we were in our mid-20s. He's an artist. Actually, he made this painting here. But so we were talking a lot about, we like to talk about food, but he was talking about how the night before he had had a dream about when we lived together in Berkeley, or rather in Oakland, he was working in that same row of specialty shops. There was a fish market on Monterey Avenue, and he worked for the fish market, and he would help transport the fish from San Francisco, where they'd been caught, over to Berkeley, the fish market. So he would get up at like 2 or 3 in the morning and drive around. And he said that he had this dream, and he was dreaming of all the various donut shops that were open at that hour that he could get donuts from. And he listed off like about 5 or 6 different shops, like, you know, Happy Donuts on Gilman, and there was a place near SFO in Oakland, you know, like about 6 different. He's like, you know, he's like, yeah, it was probably about 30 years ago, but you have like this really good memory for all these donut shops out there, which is funny. So we're having this theme, and Then he was talking about now he lives up in Idaho and on the outs, like a suburb of Boise, I think. And he's talking about in Boise, there's only like 2 donut shops. And he's like, how is it? There's all these people in Idaho, and there's a lot of people that are LDS, so they don't drink, they don't have caffeine, but they love their sugar. But still, there's only like 2 donut shops. And because I grew up in a town in the East Bay of San Francisco, and there was like 35,000 people in it, and it had at least 6 different like donut shops. So I was like, this is, why is there this lack of people not eating donuts? Okay. So that's kind of fun that mom and Sean, not knowing each other, were both having these dreams about related to the same block in Berkeley and baked goods. But then, and now as the algorithm comes into it, I was scrolling through Twitter, and the same time I was DMing with an old college friend of mine, Mariana. And Mariana and I were talking about donut shops because everyone listened to her. Apparently we all need to eat a bunch of sugar these days.
Donuts are awesome.
Basically. And so then I'm scrolling through, and this guy who hosts Failed State Update podcast, Joseph L. Flatley, he posted this thing about the difference between Barbarian cream and another cream, which I'm blanking on right now, but I'm like, he's like, oh, you need to know this. And I'm like, and I just shot off, oh, of course I know this because my sister used to work as a pastry chef. So, you know, before I actually watch, you know, I'm hoping that this YouTube is actually about baking stuff because I haven't watched it. It's some pervy thing or something. So he responded, he's like, oh, ha ha. Yeah, actually it's about baking. It's just because I don't eat donuts anymore, but I like looking stuff up about them on YouTube. So then we have, again, the theme of people not eating donuts. Okay, later it twigged for me because Joseph L. Flatley, now his Twitter handle is at Lenny Flatley because he also goes by Lenny or Leonard. The friend that I was DMing with when I saw that Twitter about donuts, I was talking with her about donuts. He's talking about donuts too. She has a small kitten that she has been raising the past while, and his name is Leonard or Lenny.
Oh, wow.
So it's like this weird symbols coming together around, you know, the beauty that is donuts.
I thought you were going to say the cat's name was Donut.
No, yeah, it was kind of like, yeah. But instead, it's like it kind of comes through the Lenny angle. But that's the thing that gets me about a lot of these weird kind of dream synchronicity things is that you'll have like the main theme, but then it will kind of like come together on these like kind of subsidiary themes too.
Right.
Which makes me think that there's something there, whatever it may be. But yeah, for once I have a synchronicity that's like vaguely wholesome and not about anything raunchy or louche.
Yeah, usually yours are like embarrassing to talk about. So, but
the
whole donut thing, though.
Exactly.
I mean, like that's an ongoing theme too. So, yep. And I mean that's been going on for me for quite a while now because, it all kind of started with SJ and I joking about doing a paranormal TV show, like pitching a TV show to one of the networks where we go around and investigate haunted places and then also eat the, like go to the donut shops in town and like rate the donuts.
I'd watch it.
It sounds like a good show.
But that's kind of like between SJ and I, that's become such a thing that now we've got like the cult of the holy donut and all this other stuff. And, you know, I refer to myself as a donut wizard, but then these things just get like amplified to the point where then you're seeing news articles that are like, the universe is actually shaped like a donut, you know?
You know, it's funny. I came home to my mom's and they have weird shaped peaches downstairs to eat. And they're called either UFO peaches or donut peaches.
No, that's awesome. That's very good. Plus, you're going to be going to Athens, right, to meet UFO people, which is, you know, in the Peach State, Georgia.
Ah, that's right.
There you go. It's all coming together.
And then when I get to Nashville, I'm going to eat donuts at Five Daughters Bakery, which I'm very, very religiously devoted to, like Five Daughters Bakery. Oh, that's kind of, I'm not sponsored by them. I'm just saying.
I know you shared a post about that a while back, and I'm like, all right, how much is plane fare?
Well, you know, it's like a $500 donut for you. Yeah, they're pretty good.
I know some people just really know how to, my friend Sean and I were kind of reminiscing a little bit about some of these, let's say, food of places in times past. I had an interesting one that happened recently. There's a place in Santa Cruz. That's actually where my friend Mariana and I went to school together, UC Santa Cruz. Go banana slugs. But so there's a place called India Joe's, and it was like a cafe restaurant and also like a performing arts and gallery space. I believe it's still going, but it's like a real iconic Santa Cruz place that's been there for many years. And they had the most fantastic hash browns there. And they were especially great if you had, let's say, been partying extremely. You may be hungover, but of course, everything, people would take basically every form of drug imaginable in Santa Cruz all at once. So it could be worse than a hangover coming down. I don't know. But you'd go there and have that black coffee. It was like perfect atmosphere for kind of knitting your consciousness back into consensus material reality. But it was one of those things where I thought for a number of decades, it was like, oh, you know, I would just like, what I would do to have a plate of those hash browns once again. Anyway, I found out someone that I know online recently actually used to work as a chef there. And it was such an odd feeling where it's like something that you kind of like close this door off. And then you're thinking, if I could get in good with this person, I could have you know? But it's like almost like a portal opening up again. It was a strange feeling. Because I think there's something about those kind of food, sensory, emotional experiences that are so vivid that they take on a certain vibrance in our kind of imaginal life. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and I like the hash brown portal. That's a new one.
Actually, I hadn't even thought of it that way. No, that's a great idea.
Oh, it's wild.
And you have a friend in Idaho. Isn't that where the potatoes are?
Actually, yes. That's actually, yeah, that's another of the potato connection.
Yeah.
Coming to potato the triangle. Yeah.
Well, here's something, because putting this all together too, something that made me think of is we talk about like the dream logic aspect of it, where sometimes like the significance of something is a bit oblique. Like you kind of, it takes a lot of explaining to get to like why there's a reality rhyme to it, you know, like, sometimes it's just like a color association or something like that. But, when it comes to like premonitions or using these things to kind of determine or forecast where things are going, especially with dreams, I wonder if either of you had the experience of like premonitions in dreams and whether or not they present as like a literal visual representation of what's coming or more of a symbolic one. Because in my personal experience, anytime I've had dreams that ended up being like premonitions, it's usually like symbolic. And later I can look back at it and say, oh, that's kind of what that symbol meant, you know, or something happens. I'm not terribly surprised. And I'm like, yeah, I guess that's what that symbol was trying to tell me. But then I have had like the more literal ones too. And those feel very different. So I don't know if either of you have experience with that and what your experience was.
I do not have premonitions and dreams whatsoever. I just have very strange, vivid dreams. And I have a lot of otherworldly content in my dreams. But last week I had a dream where I made out with Noel Gallagher from Oasis. So I mean, so I have this like weird weaving of like, you know, just emotions and otherworldly stuff happening. But I don't think I've ever had a dream where I've thought, I wish I did. And I was actually, when you started talking, I was like, gee, I wonder if they have premonitions in their dreams because I don't. And I always wish I did. Or maybe I'm not looking for it correctly, which is funny.
Right. I mean, I think was it Eric Wargo kind of recommends just keeping a dream journal and then kind of comparing what you dreamed against what actually happened, you know, then you start to notice that maybe you did, but you didn't really twig it at the time, you know. But that's kind of what I mean is like where it's symbolic for me a lot of the time, it's hard to notice until it happens and then it all makes sense, you know. You're like, that's what that symbol meant, you know. Yeah.
Do you keep a dream journal?
I don't. I'm terrible at that. I just go by memory for a lot of it, but I mean the most I do is tell my friends about it and then then I at least like have it written in a direct message somewhere I can refer to. But
I feel like Twitter is my dream journal. Anytime I have a really weird one, I'm like, okay, so this happened.
Yeah,
it's funny because I did a show actually with Alex years ago on premonitions, because I've had like a ton of premonitions and they come at me in a bunch of different ways. But one of the things that I found, which I thought was really interesting, there was this group of people years ago, like in the 70s or 80s, they decided to, this one guy, he had some premonitions about how to play the stock market that were useful for him. And so he developed a group of people and they decided to become like the stock market dreamers. I have the link to the article someplace on my blog.
Yeah, I've heard of this. Yeah.
Yeah. But the main thing that they found was that you have to practice and you have to develop your skill basically in being able to tell when you're having a premonition and reading your own symbol language. So everyone had to have like a training period in which they developed their skills with being able to tell how does this come through to me? What are my symbol language like? What's that kind of feeling, energetic sensations that come through? How does this all work? But it's like, it's just like if you wanted to win at tennis, right? You have to practice.
Yeah.
So I think it's the same thing. I've had I've had premonitions from just to the point where you just like you sit there, all of a sudden you know exactly what's going to happen, you say it to someone. I've had a couple of weird ones where someone will just like out of it, like usually I'm a, like a very low-key person and I just, no one bugs me and no, you know, people like, hi, how you doing, when I'm out in public. And a couple times and people all of a sudden were just like in my face for like no reason I could discern. And then all of a sudden it's like the penny drops. Oh, this means I'm going to be more public. You know, it's like, it's not really about, you know, so I've had a lot of stuff like that. I've had a couple of dreams about birds that I saw that were kind of symbolic, but kind of obvious too. There was one I had, I was dreaming that I was in UC Berkeley, right next to, oh, I can't think of the name right now, but it's like a very specific place near like kind of the undergraduate library. There's these particular bushes. This is like a place that I've spent a lot of time in over many decades of my life walking around. So there's these kind of particular bushes next to this one building that's kind of across the main north-south thoroughfare from the undergraduate library. And I was there and I saw a woodpecker, but instead of like being like normal woodpecker on the body of a tree or branches, it's hovering there and it's drinking the sap from these, like the nectar from these flowers. I'm like, that's kind of weird. So the next day I'm walking around UC Berkeley. Actually, when I saw this, I think it was like more close up by the faculty club. But I saw this bird. It was the second time I ever saw a red-bellied sapsucker woodpecker, right? The woodpecker, but they suck the sap.
Right.
So that was my premonition. I had another premonitory dream about birds. And these both happened around the first time when I was like within the first year or two of really bird watching, which I was like super obsessed with, even more than now. I just remember dreaming. I was dreaming and I looked down on the palm of my hand and there was like a little like a pirate parrot bird kind of rolling around in my hand. And I was just like so charmed. It was so cute. But that was basically the dream. Or what I remember of it. So the next day, my boyfriend and I, and actually my friend Sean too, they were working at Leslie Ceramics in Berkeley, California, this big ceramic store, along with this guy named Brian Jim, also an artist, all these artists. And so I went to meet them up after work. And so we all decided to go over to Brian Jim's house. And I don't think I'd ever been up to his house before. He had some cats. He drove a motorcycle and he had this one kitten. He had like a regular cat. And then he had this kitten that was like kind of psycho that I don't know what the deal was, but he, to handle this cat, he'd have to like put on his motorcycle helmet and his gloves because the cat would like scratch the hell out of him. Anyway, so we left that cat downstairs and went upstairs where he had a pair of lovebirds. And I was like, oh, those birds are so cute. And he said, sure. He said, they're real tame too. And next thing I know, he has taken one of them out of the cage and put it in my hand. And it's like rolling around on his back, just like in my dream.
Aww.
And it was one of those things where it's like, I had no idea that he had any lovebirds or any type of parrots. I had no idea that we'd be going over there that day or anything, but it was a very precise premonition in my dream. So.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty on the nose. Like that's. Yeah.
It was just like so adorable. I mean, especially if you see like lovebirds, they're like super cute birds anyway. And they're just like, hi, we love you. It was like, ah. But yeah, so sometimes it'll be just like straight across like that. But I had no way. It's like kind of weird because it's like that one moment of it. But there's all this other unusual stuff that had to happen for that, that I never could have predicted or had any idea about. So.
Well, right, because then it becomes like sifting the signal for the noise, you know. Mm-hmm. Like you feel like there's just all these dream images that are just nonsense, but then there's something in it that you end up seeing in real life like the next day. It's pretty weird, you know?
So I think Margo's advice to keep a dream journal is probably wise, but I never do because I've had some other premonitions that are just terrible. They're just like stupid and they just make me feel like an idiot.
Yeah, I know what you mean, because then you feel stupid talking about it, because I've been going through that lately where I have I'll have premonitions that happen like 2 minutes after I think of it, like within minutes. So yeah. It's almost more like a spider sense, you know, where I'm just like get the feeling that something's about to happen and then it happens, you know. So kind of weird.
It's pretty useful, you know, in a lot of ways, or can be useful if you're like avoiding it. If you could avoid getting struck by lightning by not getting out of your car where you're shielded by lightning, then that would be useful, maybe.
Oh,
you had that one with Hurricane Bob.
That's
and
true.
All the holes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
now I have a junk journal. I always share like little images on Twitter every now and then, and in my junk journal sometimes I'll piece together images from my dreams and write like little blurbs. But there was a time in the past where I did keep a very like very detailed dream journal. And I think I agree with Eric, because at some point, I mean, like, I remember having a dream where I was in a library and the librarian was giving me addresses, and I remembered the numbers and I wrote the numbers in that journal and everything. And I thought that they would be premonitions, and maybe they were, you know, maybe that's, you know, circling back to that idea of like, you have to know your symbolism. I didn't know the symbolism, but I thought it was really cool that I could remember, you know, actual numbers and addresses and ideas and theories and conversations with people from dreams.
No, that is really good. Actually, that's probably one of my biggest premonition dream. And I had it multiple times, but I had this, well, I wanted to volunteer. We were talking about volunteering at like an animal rescue shelter or something like that. I wanted to volunteer at Lindsay Wildlife Museum. It's a place in Walnut Creek, and they do a lot of rehabilitation of native animals. They have a whole wildlife hospital, but then they have a museum for animals that can't be released into the wild that have the capacity to cope with spending part of their life being animal ambassadors. So I did that for a while, and it was a really exciting and fulfilling experience as far as educating people about wildlife. But then also, if you're at all interested in being a magician, esoteric worker, or anything, just developing the ability to communicate with all these different creatures without the use of words is very, we'll put you through your paces, handling crowds and all that stuff. I really recommend it. But before this happened, when I was just thinking about it, I'd be dreaming and I would be hearing a phone number in my head. And then I would get up and I'd realize, and I write it down. And this happened several times. But the thing is that that's where I actually ended up meeting Anthony, my husband. So I think, and I think that's what that was about. It was wild. There's like, it was weird. This like the only time I've really had like that intense of remembering, you know, something specific like you do, Kiki, in a dream. But it was weird.
Meant to be.
I don't know. A bunch of people got married there in that time, the couple of years that we were there. There was probably about like 6 or 7 marriages at least. So it was pretty. Cool.
The only thing I ever have that's super specific like that is I'll see a clock in my dream and see what time it is. And invariably, that's always what time I wake up.
Wow, that's wild.
So when I wake up, I roll over and look at my phone and it's like the time I saw on the clock in the dream. You know? And I'm just like, I think I have a great internal clock maybe. Because I also have a habit of waking up like 5 minutes before my alarm goes off pretty much every day.
That is a gift.
Yeah, I probably don't even need the alarm. I could probably shut it off, but I know that if I did, that I probably wouldn't wake up in time.
I know, right? That'd be the one time. That's so funny. Oh, wow. Steph, you jump-started my memory. I actually did have a premonition dream.
There you go. Oh, yay.
I did. It was a gross, icky one. Not a sexy one, a gross, icky one. So last week, I dreamt that there was in my childhood home. So this, I'm sure that somebody who reads like the symbolism, like a Jungian psychologist would be like, oh, but I was in my childhood home and there was a giant cockroach there. And it was like really horrible and spindly and almost looked like alienish to me. Mm-hmm. And, if I went into my history about like I've ever since I was little, like, I mean, like even a young age, I was having very, very vivid alien and otherworldly dreams. So that was one of the things I thought in my dream. Horrible. It was huge. It was gross. I remember the antennae, you know, being really big. So then the next day I was greeted while trying to cook dinner because I live on a swamp in Georgia. There was a freaking palmetto bug.
Oh.
Basically a nice way of saying giant, disgusting, horrible cockroach that got into my apartment. Just crawling around. I mean, I was so scared. I actually barricaded myself in my office.
Wow.
But that's my premonition. I
no, that's on point.
About a cockroach. Yeah.
It's also kind of a sink. It's also a little bit of a sink because Stephanie and I are always sharing insectoid images with each other, just like we have an ongoing insectoid humanoid alien insect kind of fascination. So
I love all animals. I'm one of those people that doesn't kill any, but just like burn every cockroach to the ground. Like it's the one thing I have an exception to. I'm really afraid of them. I don't care about, you know, people are afraid of snakes. People are afraid of spiders. I love them. I think they're great. You know, awesome. I'm happy to see them, but
you're not happy. They sound really super. I don't know. I've not had a lot of cockroach experience, fortunately, but it just sounds, I mean, even like around here, you just get like earwigs.
They're in the same insect family as mantises, though.
You know, it's funny you say that because in the dream, this thing, the cockroach that I saw, like because I don't kill, you know, bugs. Like I was like, well, I can't kill it because it almost looks like a praying mantis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
they're both in the genus Blatavaria, I think.
Isn't it interesting too, like how the symbolism is so different and they're from the same family. So like a cockroach is like this disgusting, like post-nuclear symbol of like, you know, filth, which is funny because I'm also an absolute meat freak. Like I'm just one of those people that's like, you know, wiping down everything all the time. You just can't help it when you live literally on a swamp. They come in and I even called, like, I texted my best friend and I was like, is your boyfriend around? Can he come over? And she was like, no, he isn't. And I don't deal with those either.
You're on your own, sweet cheeks.
Yeah. Thanks. I know. She's like, good luck.
But, I love you.
You know, and then you think about the praying mantis and it's like this like heavenly sort of celestial, you know, symbol of wisdom or, you know, mm-hmm. sort of like this almost like spiritual balance.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of spiritual lesson with that disgusting cockroach too. Yeah. By the way, it's dead. I found it in my bathtub.
Made its way around. Well, it's funny because I had, actually it was, to me, it was very interesting. Like a month or so ago, situation of kind of like a shared dream induction synchronicity weird thing, but it definitely came out of the shall we say the depths. I had been talking to Sean, I've been talking to another artist, and she had a problem in her house, which is that her they're on well water and the well pump had broken, so they didn't have, you know, clean water at the house. So, you know, you can't really bathe or do a lot of stuff. I mean, they were getting by, but you know, it's a problem. And so I was trying to cheer her up because with stories of my minor problems that I've had myself or known about, sewage backing up, like for example, into your bathtub, which when I was living with Sean, we lived in this apartment and at least a couple, well, more than a couple times, probably we had this situation where the entire apartment complex is like sewage, like back up into our bathtub, which is horrifying. Other times sewage will like flood out my little garden area. So I was like, hey, you know, it could definitely be worse. And she's like, oh yeah, that would be worse. So she, you know, she's good natured about it. We're cracking up over it. And I talked about, oh, another instance on, my husband, Anthony, grew up on Long Island in the 70s. And so, you know, basically the water table is basically at the ground. So I guess there was one instance when he was in high school and this kid's parents had left for the weekend, right? So you know what happened, right? Everyone descends on this house. They're all having this great party. And they had a septic tank. And he and I guess a couple of friends had heard about this party. They rolled up and the septic tank had like erupted through the lawn. Up coming out, and it was like kids were there like drunk and like throwing up just like we're saying, like, yeah. So I was like sure not my friend. She's like, yeah, that would be a lot worse, it's not that bad. So
wow.
Yeah, so we've been joking about, I mean, and this is all consensual, this is a type of thing we've talked about in the past, so we were just like joking around, you know, some of us are gross.
We don't laugh about it.
So I was laying in bed that night, and this is cracking me up. And I started thinking about my friend Sean and when we lived at that apartment. And one time he's an excellent cook. He cooks a lot and it's good. And he, for some reason, he'd made some corned beef, right? Cured meat. And he like tried to flush it down the toilet, but it did not work. And so, you know, we had this problem again. And I don't know why. I mean, it was made me mad at the time, but ever since then, it just cracks me up. It's just like something about it is like, he is so funny and so witty, and he knows everything about history and an incredible artist, but the super like hapless thing, it just always just cracks me up ever since then. So I was laying in bed thinking about this, but I was kind of in that hypnagogic state where you're kind of halfway between dream and sleeping. And every once in a while, I'd get like this, I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like this very kind of like particular focused emotional state of consciousness where you kind of feel it's like kind of crystallized or condensed somehow. And I could tell I was in that state of mind as I drifted off to sleep, thinking about this whole problem with the toilet, everything. So I go on Twitter the next day and Willow Truman, who's a co-host of the Nonsense Bazaar, says, I had this, just had this like super weird dream where someone, a friend of mine broke off their friendship with me because they said, because I had thrown like a pepperoni down the toilet. And she said, I'd never disrespect cured meats that way. And I was like, okay, this is like too weird because that's exactly the image. It's like cured meat, the toilet, friendship. It was like the trippiest thing to just kind of like, because especially for me, because I've been in that real particular weird state of consciousness thinking about this and then kind of kicking off into some, you know, I don't know if that's how it worked or not, but the, to me, those are the things that really make me think about what's happening with our consciousness, how separate are we actually, and how do we kind of charge these symbols? How do we work it so that we could actually like get some money or something? Instead of just these crazy experiences.
The cured meat
connection. Yeah, that is the question. Yeah.
I don't know. And it's a weird thing too, because I know that like Eric Wargo would say, well, basically it's because your long self realized that the next day you were going to be reading Willow's dream. And so you called up and I'm like, you know, you called up that incident with Sean and the corned beef situation as you were drifting off to sleep. But, you know, to me, I'm looking at, you know, all, I mean, I've been talking about Sean and all our toilet clog problems extensively earlier in the day. So to me, that argues against that it being strictly a premonition.
Well, right. Because, I mean, I think there's multiple things going on every time anything like this happens, you know?
Yeah, that's what I go with.
And then you wonder if there's like, sometimes is there a deeper meaning or is it the surface level stuff, you know? So it's decoding that. Or is it just like,
you know, these people that you're that you're friends with and that you're joking around and it's just kind of an outgrowth of people connecting and having a,
yeah, you know. It could simply just be an indicator of connection, you know, yeah. Like
joy spreading outwards because it even like, it's a silly story. Like it's so funny. Like,
right.
Okay. I love it. You know,
right.
Now we'll have to see if anybody listening has had like, or is going to, we all have to like connect if any of us like dream about like pastrami or salami or corned beef.
Things right coming up out of the depths.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I had a thought and I just lost it. But,
but yeah, I mean, a lot about food in our dreams.
I know. I was going to say I daydream about cured meats all the time. You know, I know, Kiki, you're a vegetarian, so it's.
Yeah, I'm a flexitarian.
Sorry.
And it's actually funny that we're talking about cured meats because, you know, when I come visit my family, especially when like I'm not cooking, I don't cook meat at home and I eat vegan at home. But when I leave, like sometimes my best friend will be like, are you a flexitarian tonight? And I'll be like, yes, let's go get sushi.
And well, that's so perfect.
Yeah. And so my mom said, actually, I think she asked me, she brought it up tonight, but she said last night, she turned to me and she said, I have a very serious question for you. And I thought like, oh God, what is she gonna ask me? She said, will you eat hot dogs for dinner?
There you go.
And so there's my synchronicity. So I'm going to have hot dogs for dinner tomorrow night. And I can't wait, you know, but I don't eat that all the time. And actually like there are some really good tofu dogs too. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's fun. That's on theme. Yeah. I'm more that way too. You know, I'll eat like meat, like maybe once a week, or a couple times a month or something like that. Cause it just, you know, I can't, unfortunately my body can't cope with no meats whatsoever, but I try and, do it. And then we're lucky here in Napa because we have all the shishi food, but you have, places that, they make real high quality stuff and, the animals have been treated better. So.
Yeah. Well, and I try, and I dreamt to be vegan. I had a dream where I was told you'd probably feel better if you were a vegan. Yeah. So, I was a really super strict vegan for a while. But I'm kind of the same where now I'm just like, I don't need to put that pressure on myself and I don't need to put that pressure on other people. And I'm a homebody anyways, and I live alone. So it's really easy for me to prepare meals for myself that are vegan. And I love sharing when I'm like, I made something with mushrooms. You want to look at this picture, but I mean, when I go out now, like I've learned, it's okay, most of the time, but I heard in a dream, it was like one of those ethereal voices that were like, you should be a vegan. Like, it's like, wow. Okay.
See, that's helpful if it's straightforward. I guess that's kind of what I was asking before, because sometimes it's like you get the there's like that meme that goes around, like, I get my news from cryptic symbolism in my dreams,
I love it.
It's nice if it's just straightforward. Somebody tells you something like,
do this instead. Okay.
Do this thing. Look here. Really cool. Yeah, because I mean, I had the one like really strong premonition I had, and that actually goes to more the Wargo interpretation of things. It fits in with that. So I don't think I've really told the story before on a podcast, but Stephanie, you were one of the only people I messaged about it. First person. Because there was that explosion that happened in Beirut, Lebanon, that just like leveled things there. And it was really weird because I had this dream. I'm just walking through like kind of an arid area that I didn't recognize. And it's just all blown up. And there's like cars upside down. And like, I had it in my head that I was witnessing the aftermath of a fire. And I'm like, this is more than a fire, though. Like, things got thrown around. And I couldn't figure out what I was looking at. I woke up, got up, got a glass of water, and, went back to bed and went right back into the same dream. And here I am just walking through this blown up landscape. And I woke up again and thought, that's weird to go right back into it. I should write this down because it must be important. And got lazy instead and just went back to sleep. And I went into the dream again. So when I woke up in the morning, I remembered having just gone in and out of this weird dream, but I got up and got ready for work and left and didn't think of it again until the next morning, when my wife had on my way out the door, she was just kind of like, I had this dream that I woke up from, but then I went back to sleep and went right back into it, and that kind of triggered the memory of the explosion dream. Yeah. And I was just like, wow, I had that, last night. Like, so I started talking about it, and I was like, later that day, I got a notification on my phone, and it's a news alert from Twitter, which that never used to be a push notification. So it was kind of weird that even came through. Mm-hmm. And I checked my phone thinking it was like a text message or something important. Like news alert. So I click the button and it's like video footage of the aftermath of the explosion in Beirut. That was exactly what I dreamt.
Wow.
And I mean, it like shook me. I was like, holy shit. Like, this is exactly my dream. And like, I pretty much had to like, right at that moment, just kind of like sit down and take a breather. Cause I'm like, it like kind of freaked me out. And then I like message Steph about it. Cause I'm like, Steph, this just happened. Steph's like my go-to. So, and then what I wasn't prepared for with that too, is like, an emotional wave that came with it. Like, I felt like my home had been blown up, or like that I had some, and I have no real connection to Lebanon that I know of, you know, like I never been there. I don't have family there or anything like that, but it was just, it was like, that was the one premonition dream that I had that was just like verbatim reality showing me exactly what I dreamt the night, two nights before. So it wasn't even the next day. It was, that memory was triggered just because of what Pam said to me on the way out of the house. So I don't know, really weird.
Who are you connecting with over there, right? Like, were you astrally visiting? And why would you choose that one event? It's very interesting.
Well, right. Because what Wargo's thing is, the long self sees the news broadcast, and that memory of watching the news footage would travel backwards in time to your dream self two nights before, right? That's his kind of premise. But yeah, I mean, if I were connecting with anybody, it would probably be the journalist or whoever was taking the video footage, right? Because that was the perspective. It was the same exact perspective as the camera footage. So,
wow.
yeah, I mean, that was one that blew me away. And it was the kind of thing where, like, I mean, that's a more significant paranormal psychic thing for me than a lot of the stuff I'm public about. But I like, because of the emotional impact of it, I'm like, I feel like it's almost disrespectful to like just jump on Twitter and be like, holy shit, I dreamed this the other night. You know, like it seemed like it would like, it seemed a little tacky. You know? So, you know, I kind of kept it to myself. Like I told Stephanie about it and that was about it. And then like my family, but you know, yeah, it was really, really strange.
I wonder if it's like a thing that happens. Is it a phenomenon that people will have dreams about? I mean, like something happening. Like I remember watching or hearing somebody say that they dreamt about the tsunami in Japan with the was it Fukushima?
Yeah, you're right. Yep.
Like they dreamt about all of that before it happened. I mean,
like, yeah. You hear about that a lot. There was a lot of that around like 9/11. It's a pretty common thing. But I think Wargo's argument is mainly people are remembering them hearing about it. Like it's a memory of hearing about it in the news that travels backwards in time.
Well, was it Dunn who wrote Experiment in Time? And he had a lot of precognitive experiences, but he had a precognitive dream of it was a volcano eruption. Mm-hmm. On an island. He was like a British officer or something, and he was dreaming about this. He was running around this island and trying to get people to evacuate, and he had the number in his head. I forget the exact number, but it was something like 40,000 dead. So he woke up the next morning and he reads the paper and it says, you know, 40,000 dead, like in his dream.
Right.
But then later on, the number was corrected and it was actually like 4,000 dead or something. It was like a typo, but he'd taken notes and he'd had that dream. And so he could see that he was not having like, let's say an omniscient viewpoint of what actually happened. But he, as you say, in this instance, he was able to figure out that he was recalling reading it in that particular newspaper. So that's where a lot of this, that's what triggered his ideas about precognition, being that you're actually seeing your future self. And Wargo is carrying along on that tradition of that, yeah, you're seeing your own future experience. Wargo also talks about, he calls it a jouissance, or the whole idea of it's like these things, experiences seem to be very, very much precipitated by or fueled by a certain type of emotional charge. Particular emotional states. But as Wargo points out, it's difficult when you're kind of going back and forth between the precognitive dream and the event where you recognize that you precog something. Where is the emotion coming from, right? Is it coming from the, like in your instance, AP, is it coming from the person who is filming that footage at the time of the event? Is it coming from you during the dream? Is it coming from you at the point that you realized that you had a premonition of this event? So this kind of like all this emotion shooting around. Wargo thinks that a lot of the, as I understand his theories, that a lot of the kind of juice for these events comes from the moment when you recognize the that you had a precognition. Right. And it's kind of shooting back in time. For me, as I've had a lot of premonitions over my life, I can't agree. That doesn't line up entirely. Sometimes that does, but many times it doesn't line up with my lived experience. I've had a few premonitions where it was something kind of negative that I had a premonition for, or something that was not, I don't know, I didn't want to give the energy in that direction. And it was kind of like almost like it took the energy out of things at that point, when I kind of had the moment where I saw, oh yeah, actually I precog this, right? And it's kind of like a relaxation.
Right.
So AP, I think like you're saying, I think that there's a number of instances where emotional energy could come in, and it varies depending upon, you know, the particular incident where that energy is coming from or being injected. So I don't know, but yeah, it's hard. I think a lot of people have premonitions of these very distressing events. And like you say, I think, you know, because it's one thing to realize, you know, have the realization that, yeah, okay, really, I did see this thing in the past and it's happening now. And the way that plays, you know, tears apart all our preconceived notions and ideas about reality. Okay, that's one thing. Yeah. That can be difficult enough. But then when it's about such a distressing event and you feel terrible for the people that were involved, and then there's that sense of helplessness. It's like, okay, I saw this beforehand, but I couldn't do fuck all about it. Mm-hmm. And I really would have, you know, it's one of the harder things, I think. Hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I think what was strange about it to me too is, I mean, it's not like premonitions aren't necessarily new for me, you know, but that really like took my feet out from under me, where it was just like, that was, you know, I've never had one that was that literal, you know, so
vivid.
Yeah. It was pretty crazy. But we're a little over an hour now. I don't know if we want to go anywhere else with this, but you guys made me hungry with all the food talk.
We have to take a break.
I don't know. We pretty much went all over the place with this, with some insectoids and. I think my AirPods just died. but insectoids, premonitions, synchros, donuts. We covered a lot of ground. So
cured meat.
Yeah. Cured meat, plumbing.
I forgot about cured meat.
So. Yeah. That's fascinating. I would love to see if there's like a, you know, even after the three of us have talked, like what do we all dream about tonight? What happens, you know? Or because we've had this conversation, are we going to get onto social media tomorrow and people are going to be like, so I just had this dream of this giant cockroach and he was eating a hot dog and I don't know what that's about, right. But like, you know, should I be concerned? I'm going to go get donuts. Anybody want to join me? There's only two in my town. You know, like, is this going to happen tomorrow? And if it does, I think that'd be kind of cool.
No, it'd be really good. And then if anyone has any, you know, real life, let's see, they get stuck in traffic behind a, let's say, a giant donut display going somewhere or something like that, let us know after you listen.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that idea too, that you brought up about knowing your symbols. And so maybe that's a really beautiful practice that I love junk journaling. I love making collages and I'm learning
how to make really beautiful, gorgeous collages. If anyone wants to go, kind of scroll down your Twitter and you've posted some things. They're just gorgeous and very evocative. Thank so
you. Absolutely. Yeah.
I appreciate yeah, that. It's so cathartic. So if people are not necessarily like, you know, writers, I encourage people to draw or collage their dreams because I do that.
That's a great idea.
Really. It's you know, maybe I won't get back to that point where I'm getting numbers and addresses, but it's really soothing. And then another practice, is completing your dream. Actually, my therapist told me to do this because I've had some really challenge, you know, like you guys know, it was a tougher year for me. Mm-hmm. And so I had a lot of anxiety dreams. And so my therapist always would suggest, why don't you complete your dream when you wake up? And I think that's such cool advice. So like, you kind of like, you know, it's almost like a meditation, but like when you're still waking up, you finish the dream that you had, but in a way that is comforting or beneficial to you, or wraps it up in a way that concludes it. I don't know.
That's really solid advice. Yeah. You just kind of imagine the ending that, yeah. Cause then you're just kind of, you know, forcing your own fate, you know?
So,
that's awesome.
Might be something, you know, listeners may want to try out, whether it's an anxiety dream or something that is really enjoyable. A lot of times people, you know, have these great dreams where they're flying and then they realize they're dreaming and then they wake up. What happens? How do you want to conclude that? Might just be fun. Let us know how it goes.
I love that idea.
Yeah, definitely add us on Twitter and let us know.
We want to know everything.
Dream adventures.
So. People, we've been talking about some kind of crass, gross stuff here, so feel free, you can share anything with us.
Yeah.
Please.
From the highs to the lows.
I left the dog shit synchros out.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll close with that because it was kind of funny. But
it was on point.
I found an article this morning about a dog that shit on a woman's face while she was sleeping, and it got in her mouth, and she had
the dog
to go to
was
the hospital.
Sick. What the dog didn't do it on purpose. I feel like I should say that.
Yeah, the headline is misleading. So the dog was sick, and just kind of that makes it even worse though, because it just like exploded all this woman's face, and she had the presence of mind to take a selfie for some reason that was in the article. It was awful. And I'm like, I don't think I can share this publicly. So I did what I always do when I find something like that and slid into Steph's DMs and just dropped it.
How lucky.
So, so
we've been riding this whole wave of butthole synchronicities earlier.
So I was at work and I had to go around the back, and I was in somebody's backyard and made a wrong step onto some wet wood, and I slipped and fell really hard, and I was like, oh god, I just completely ate shit back there. It was like, okay, well that's ironic, isn't it? And I'm like, that's you know, just the colloquial eating shit versus the one in the article. And then and then right after that I went to another place and stepped in a pile. So I'm like, okay, this needs to stop here.
You really know transitioning into the age of Aquarius when a dog shits on your face and you think, I should take a selfie.
But that became a running theme this morning. I mean, this was all within an hour, like this all happened. And I'm just like, okay, from now on, I'm just sending Steph, you know, articles about lottery winners, you know?
Yep. Change of topic.
Oh, well, I'm so sorry. That's like a lot of occasions that would happen in one morning.
Yeah, it was just that repeated symbol, you know. I don't know why. It was just dog shit this morning, but whatever.
You know, in traditional dream interpretations, fecal matter, it represents money. It really does. Like people say, like it's abundant.
That's right, huh?
It's material. It's the earth. So
wow.
It's a symbol of cash. So
that's good.
Maybe you did win the lottery. Maybe you will win the lottery.
There you go. Nice. It's actually very auspicious, I guess. Well, it reminds me of what's like the, I want to say, a lot of like a fairy or gnome lore, that type of stuff. It's like, oh, you know, the gnome goes and says, okay, let me, I'm going to give you all this stuff and then take it home. Don't look at it until you get it home. And it looks like it's just like a bunch of garbage. But then when, if you actually take it home and look at it, then it's gold. So it's the whole idea of
the, or, you know, or the opposite sometimes where they give you like gold that, you know, then later turns out to just be like junk, you know, like the glamour aspect of it. But
kind of like when you want to train mantis in your kitchen and you get a palmetto bug.
You can never really tell. But all right, well, this has been a fun chat. I think we'll wrap it up here before I degrade any further into poop jokes.
Winning the lottery.
The money. It's all about money.
I'm glad I brought it up because Kiki makes a good point that I'm going to choose to believe. So, so where can people find you guys online? As we wind down here.
Kiki.
I'm quiet because I'm like, well, I'm not. I wish I was better on social media, but the place where I'm most active is Twitter. So I like to do a lot of retweeting and chatting, and I love to get to know people there. KikiD333. That's my name. So please come hang out with me there.
All right, and then your book is available too on
Vaughn.
A Curious Future. It is excellent. Love recommending that book because it gives you a whole bunch of kind of little bites of a ton of different ways that you could get interested in divination. I think it's excellent. It's one of my top books that I recommend to people who are interested in actually trying their hand at divination. So
thank you. That's really nice to say. I really love that little book. It's a special treasure.
It really is. It's great.
Yeah, I'm glad. You know, I actually keep it because I'm like, oh my God, like I need to remember what this shell means. What is it? Like, what does this shell mean to me? Help, I got it in a reading. So thank you.
No, it's great to have just like a resource like that. And then, you know, there's always places you can go to dig into things further if you're really into it. But I think for a lot of people, one of the things that I notice is that, you know, you may, if you're a person, you want to say, okay, I want to try and, you know, do some type of practice, whatever it may be. You know, it's like, okay, I'd like to lucid dream, or I'd like to get interested in PK or try telepathy. But your own natural talents may lie something completely opposite of what you're interested in pursuing. So that's what I like about your book, is it kind of gets you interested in trying out multiple different modalities, and then you can see what sparks for you and then go further into that particular talent of yours. So
thank you. Yeah,
it's great that way. Anyway,
or you can do all of them. Why not do it all? Who cares? Roll the dice, throw some bones, do it all.
I really think sometimes if you just kind of get like a hankering to try something different, you know, that could definitely be what you need to have that particular information come through at that time. So I think it's, I'm all for it anyway.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can still be heard because.
We hear you.
I can hear you.
All right, cool. All right, so Steph, where can we find you?
StephanieQuick.home.blog is my blog. Ghost Dog is a Mystery Box. And I have like podcasts and writing, and then a contact page where you can see my social media. I'm mostly on Twitter and Facebook. And then if you want to write me an email, you can do that too.
All right, wonderful. Well, it was great talking with you both.
Where can we find you?
What's that?
Where can we find you on social media and everything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like if people are listening to this, they could find, they know where I am because they found this through there. But nice. AP Strange on Twitter, apstrange.com, and check out that stuff. I have my own podcast appearance page on there because apparently I'm popular now and people want to talk to me. So,
well, you look like David Bowie, so why not, right?
Yeah, let's not get that started again. All right. Well, wonderful talking to you both at the same time, because, you know, we talk separately. So it's good to have everybody all together.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to seeing you. I'll hit you up about fun fall activities that we can do. So
apple cider, you know, apple fritters, pumpkin patches,
cider corn mazes. We're all about the cider donuts here. So
awesome. Well, thank you so much. This was awesome.
It was really fun to catch up with you guys.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, have a good night.
Thank you.